Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter in the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Please be seated. By human standards, having a strong work ethic is an important part of a successful life. If you put in an honest day's work, you'll be paid whatever you had agreed in exchange for your labors. If you work harder and longer and more faithfully than all the others, perhaps you'll get a raise. Perhaps you'll get a promotion, more responsibility, more power. And this is the way it works here on earth. However, it does not work that way in the kingdom of heaven. Earlier, you heard God speak through the words of the prophet Isaiah. He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It's not only that God's ways are not our ways, God's ways are diametrically opposed to human ways. The natural man finds God's ways offensive. We find them unfair. Fair? Well, the truth is, God is not fair. God is just. He is righteous. The parable of the laborers in the vineyards is a difficult teaching because it runs contrary to our human reason. The master of the house, the owner of the vineyard, represents God. And early in the morning, the master of the house seeks workers to go out into his vineyard. And he contracts some of them to work the entire day out in the vineyard. He pays them one denarius. It's a fair day's wage for a fair day's labor. But it didn't take long. He saw that there was more work to do. So he goes back to town to hire more workers. But he doesn't contract these folks. He promises to pay them whatever is right. This word in our text, right. In the original language, it can also be translated as just or righteous. These workers go to the vineyard, trusting in the owner of the vineyard, trusting in his goodness and his promise that they won't be cheated, but he will be righteous and pay them justly. Finally, when evening comes, the focus is on the first ones and the last ones. The first ones and the last ones, they too are polar opposites. The first ones have an agreement, one denarius for a full day's pay. The last ones, they had no agreement, they had a promise. They would be paid whatever is just. The first ones, they work their tail off in a scorching heat all day long, 12 hours. The last ones, they spent most of the day just hanging out in town, being lazy, talking with one another. They worked for probably less than an hour by the time they got into the vineyard. Yet at the end of the day, the owner of the vineyard calls his foreman and says, "It's time to pay all the laborers. Let's pay them in reverse order from when they were hired, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius." Now, you and I can put ourselves in the shoes of those first ones. You're standing in line and you're seeing the last ones paid a whole denarius for only an hour's work. Well, you and I can do the math. They worked an hour, got a whole denarius. Well, this guy's so generous, I bet you he's going to give me 12 times that amount. Well, that's what human wisdom says. You worked 12 hours. It makes perfect sense to you and me. But then it happens. The owner of the vineyard pays everybody the exact same wage. From those who worked throughout the scorching heat all day long, 12 hours, right down to the ones who worked hardly 1 hour and probably didn't even break a sweat, each received one denarius, a full day's pay for their labor. What do the first ones do? It's not fair. That's what you and I would do. It's not fair. These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. They feel cheated. They feel entitled. But the owner, it's his money. It's his right to do whatever he wishes with his own money. It's his choice to make. The last ones, it was his choice. He decided to make the last ones equal to the first ones, even though in our eyes they were unequal. Well, by human standards, this is not fair, but the parable isn't teaching us about human standards. The parable is teaching us about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ's rule and reign on earth, both now and in the future. You see, God is the creator of all things visible and invisible. Everything belongs to God. Who are you and I to begrudge God on his gifts and blessings he wishes to give out to others? You see, in our text, in the parable, the first ones, they were not shortchanged. They were not cheated. They were paid as they were contracted for. And if the man who insists on what is right in his life from God, well, he loses God's grace and receives his judgment. And the last ones, well, they receive the gracious gifts poured out from the owner. God is not fair in human perspective. God is righteous. He is just. You see, God doesn't give you what you deserve, and you are very blessed because he does not. Because let's listen to Holy Scripture to determine what you and I truly deserve. St. James in chapter 2 writes, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it." Paul in Romans chapter 3, "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 6, "For the wages of sin is death." You see, dear Christian, you don't want what you deserve. And by the grace of God, God does not give you, baptized believer, he doesn't give you what you deserve, but he gives you what is undeserved. In his rich love and mercy, God pours out his grace upon all who believe. All of Christ's gifts are poured out on those who love him. So let's listen a little more to those scripture verses to hear what scripture has to say. "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all. But God's mercy triumphs over sin." James chapter 2. Paul in Romans chapter 3, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Romans chapter 6, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Sure, in human perspective, the last ones, they don't deserve the pay that the first ones did. But deserves have nothing to do with it. Because if you look at Jesus hanging on the cross, what did he deserve? Did he deserve to be spit upon, beaten with an inch of his life, and then nailed to the cross until he bled out and died? He didn't deserve it, but for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You see, it doesn't matter how hard you and I work. It doesn't matter how pious and holy you believe yourself to be. If your heavenly Father was going to have anything to do with you a sinner, he had to make you holy. For our God is a holy God, and God cannot be in the presence of the unholy. How is he going to make you holy? Well, he had to send his only begotten Son into the world to do all of the work that you and I cannot do, keeping his law perfectly, right down to the last dot and tittle, and to suffer God's entire wrath against your sin. He had to cover you with Jesus' righteous blood so that you would be holy. The sinless one of God in exchange for sinners such as you and me. Did Jesus think that was fair? We don't know, but for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. You see, God does not make no distinction. How many hours you have labored in the Christian life, it doesn't matter whether you were baptized 3 years ago, 30 years ago, or 3 days ago. God's generous grace overflows on you. It doesn't matter if you left all behind and followed Jesus many, many years ago, or whether the Holy Spirit called you to faith through the gospel last night, right before you went to bed. God's generous grace overflows. All believers receive the same wage, bought and paid for by Christ on Calvary's cross. Regardless of the length of your service, regardless of what you have accomplished, who are you and I to begrudge God of pouring out his generosity? You see, the wages paid out only appear unfair if you take your eyes off of Jesus. Because there you see fair and unfair. You see just and unjust dying at the hands of sinful men. God's generous grace overflows on you, even though it is undeserved. Jesus purchased you with his precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, and he has reconciled you back to the Father, freed you from sin, death, and the grave. You are a sinner justified by grace alone, through faith alone, on the basis of Scripture alone. And it's all God's prerogative. He does what he wants with what is his. And dear Christian, in the waters of holy baptism, God claimed you as his own, and you are his. And he does with you what he wishes. For the sake of Jesus, he calls you right. He calls you just. He declares you not guilty of your sin, just as if you have never sinned. He has called you to faith in the gospel, and he comes to you and feeds you here by his word, and he feeds you in his holy sacrament of the altar, in his body and blood given and shed for you. And he promises that he will never leave you nor forsake you. It's not fair. You certainly don't merit it. You don't deserve it. It's all for the sake of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. God doesn't give you what you deserve. He gives you what is undeserved: forgiveness, life, and salvation, all purchased on your behalf. But don't be deceived, resting on your laurels at the generosity of the owner, at the generosity of God. You see, Paul reminds us that just because you are a redeemed and forgiven child of God, That doesn't give you a license to go out and sin so that you may receive more forgiveness, as Paul says, so that grace may abound. No, you are not to go out sinning boldly, because in baptism, you have died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? Your Lord calls you to repent of your sin and flee to Him. Flee to the cross where your sins have been forgiven, where your debt has been paid, undeservedly to you, but God pours it out upon you. In our epistle text this morning, St. Paul says, honor Christ in your body, whether by life or by death, and by the power of the Holy Spirit given you in baptism, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. You see, on the last day, Christ will return, and this kingdom of heaven will come in all of its fullness. And you and all other believers in Christ Jesus who have been called as workers in His vineyard, you'll receive from the Master what He deems is just, what He deems is right. By faith in Christ, He deems you justified, declared not guilty of your sin. St. Paul writes, since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. Dear Christian, God's gracious gifts overflow. His generous grace overflows. His generosity is always more than you deserve. It's more than you could ever want, and it's more than you can ever absorb. Forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, all for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.